Good morning and welcome to the Raising Men Show, and I'm your host, Craig Carlisle. Tuesdays. Man, I tell you, Tuesdays are something else. Especially this Tuesday. This is Thanksgiving week Tuesday. And Thanksgiving is a... Now, Thanksgiving is a time when we're supposed to be excited. Historically, those of you who are into history one way or the other, and I'm not, this is no history show, so I'm not going to get into any great historical debate on what the origins of Thanksgiving are and, you know, who has done what to the Indians, and it's not what this is all about. I'm talking about today, 2018, today, Thanksgiving and our perspective of what we need to have and should have and are to have and are going to have and what we believe God is telling us about the right now, today. So what do I even mean about that? This is so often I find people getting caught up, and I had this small debate with someone about Christianity and where it started from, and heard someone talk about, you know, Thanksgiving and what we did to the Indians. And I mean, those are probably all, I'm sure, true statements to some degree or another. But it's all about our perspective today and how we move forward and not get stuck in the past. And I'm a person who I think I can be qualified enough to be to speak on the topic of being stuck in the past and learning to be thankful again and understanding what God has been doing in my life and staying focused there. And I found myself so often caught in the past. Thanksgiving has been a challenging time. And those of you who haven't joined if this is your first time listening to the Raising Men Show, or if you don't know much about the background of why I created the show, we're going to give you a little bit of that background, you know, this morning and throughout the show, is to give the real context around what we're talking about this morning. Because the topic is thankful for what? Because, and I say it that way with all sincerity, so I want you to hear the inflection, and I want you to hear the tone is thankful for what? Because there's some people out there who have been through some things, whether it be a long time in their life or recently have gone through some things that make you just not want to celebrate Thanksgiving. Now, again, I'm not going to get into it today about, you know, if you believe we should celebrate Thanksgiving or not. For those of you who decide to, those of you that do, this is a time to be with those that you love. And if you're not going to be with those that you love, then at least be safe. Hopefully, you know, maybe you're working or whatever. Maybe you're, you know, serving in our military, keeping us all safe, keeping, you know, this country safe. Maybe you're other places serving and do other things. Maybe you're from a country or background or listening to this from some place where you don't celebrate such a holiday. But I'm sure in every culture, everywhere, there's something that represents or that can be synonymous with being thankful and having a meal or a time and an area to sit. Anita Royston sent me a text this morning asking me, hey, did you get a chance? Have you sent across your show for today? I haven't seen it yet. And I tell you, I'm being very transparent. This is going back to why I even started the show. So I'm being real transparent this morning. I almost didn't do it today. I was wrestling with myself and feeling sad and sorry for myself. And I thought, well, who's really listening anyway? It's just another day. We can let it go by. No big deal. But I started the Raising Men Show several years ago after the death of my wife. She's been gone, or will be gone, 6 years in February of 2019. When she passed away, I had five younger sons. They're, you know, of course, 5 years older now, but it makes things a lot easier in terms of especially the youngest one. He was 4 when his mom died. He's almost completely self-sufficient now. And yes, when I say self-sufficient, he can cook for himself. He does clean. Of course, when I tell him to, he doesn't clean as a normal part of his day. Nor does he cook as a normal part of his day, but he knows how. He knows how to do his own laundry, fold, make his own bed. You name it, he could iron. It's something we've had to train him to do, train all my sons to do. But when my wife died, I didn't know what to do. I didn't have any role models out there that were making themselves readily available that I could talk to, bug, lean on, say, you know, really pour my heart out to and to say, hey, I'm hurting. I'm reminded this year of several people who've lost loved ones. One gentleman in particular that lost his wife just a few months back. I do this show because since I didn't have anyone, I made a commitment to myself to make sure that there was not going to be another man that had the same problem as I did. No, meaning the problem of the lack of leadership, the lack of role models. So I'm going to do something a little different today. I'm going to dedicate this show to a friend of mine, David Cross. Lost his wife to cancer a few months back. I know he and I spoke before his wife died, and he reached out, came over to my house, and he says, we were talking and we're sharing, and I was sharing some of my experiences. Again, no one experience from any one person is going to be the way. So my experiences with life are not going to be the same. I'm praying for better for so many people. I'm praying for better experiences for David. I'm praying better experiences for so many more people coming behind me. If for no other reason than I've made myself available to people. I've taken this platform opportunity that the Lord has given me to talk about the issue. When you've lost your spouse, and I can only speak about it from a male's perspective, I'd have to assume there's some similarities if you lost a, you know, if you're a female and you've lost your husband, but I can't speak on that. That's not my role. So here on the Raise a Men Show, my charter has always been to help men become better, be better. And in that role, I wanted my son specifically to be better. And at the right age appropriate time, they wanted and needed to hear something from their dad, that they always have a platform, a place or archive, a repository, a safe place to listen to something I've said when they're ready to hear it. And so often, there were many days I used to think, oh, you're going crazy, Craig. Those kids will never listen to that stuff. You're wasting your time. And they're too little. They're too young. You know, they're kids, and they're not going to want to hear it. But I know that's a lie from the pit of hell. So if you're hearing any strange thought from inside, deep down, or I don't know if anything like me, but when I hear the enemy speak, he always seems to talk on my left side, on my left ear, almost like the devil's sitting there on my left shoulder. And whenever I hear the word of the Lord coming to me in terms of being able to speak and wanting to speak and speaking things that are truth, and uplifting, I always hear that on my right shoulder and my right ear. So my right ear this morning and all yesterday afternoon and evening was telling me, you need to get up, you know, you need to record a show and prepare for Tuesday. And forgive me as I sip my tea to get my throat together this morning, because I had been dealing with some throat infections or some viral infections this week. I felt that the Lord was telling me, you need to get up and prepare. You need to do this. There's a word that needs to be released for Thanksgiving, because Thanksgiving can be hard. It's hard for me. And I, even as I got up today to prepare to come down and do the show today, which I didn't want to do, again, I was hearing the Lord tell me, you need to get up. You need to release the word that I have for you for Thanksgiving. I looked for scriptures last night in an effort to prepare. My thought was, okay, Lord, I'll just go sit on the couch. I'll just go prepare over there. I'll just wait. I'll watch a couple of TV shows and I'll see what you have for me, and I'll look as I'm resting, as I'm relaxing. I flipped through some scriptures, watched a couple of TV shows, and fell asleep on the couch. So much for the research last night. I woke up this morning, turned on the computer, turned on the same web page that I had before, and as I started my research before retreating to the couch. And the scripture stood out to me. It was right there. It was the last scripture I looked at. And I remember last evening I saw that scripture and I said, nah, I don't want to use that one. But we're going to spend today as we're wrestling and unpacking the whole thought of thankful for what? We're dealing with 1 Thessalonians verses chapter 5. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. And this is going to be for every example the Lord gives me to speak today and throughout today's broadcast. That's what I'm leaning on for my thankfulness, not just for Thanksgiving, but until the Lord says something different. It's going to be going to Christmas as well, because those are two high holidays that people who've struggled with loss and have been in those places where they really are unsure of how they're going to live or how they should be feeling, not unsure of how they feel. Now, unless you've been like me, where you've actually told the Lord, you know, I need it to not feel anything because I'm hurting so much, your brain will protect itself and will go into a self-preservation mode, which is where I know I've been for quite some time, unfortunately. And it's a reminder place where it's safe. I don't have to feel. I don't have to deal with the pain. I don't have to deal with the uncertainty. I don't have to deal with the knowing that I don't act and respond to people the way that they want me to act and respond. I don't have to listen to their thoughts or their glances at me being that guy today or then. They want me to be a certain way and I just don't have it in me. When you've had a great loss, whether it be divorce, loss of a job, you know, loss of a child, I know several people as well just in the last couple of weeks have lost their children in car accidents. Parents dealing with loss of their children due to drugs. Loss of a spouse due to drugs. You name it. If you've experienced a loss, Thanksgiving can make you have that feeling of thankful for what? Why am I going to be fake and fraudulent? And I tell you what. If you know a person who's gone through a severe loss, I tell you, some of the way they may have responded to you in the past may not have been how you would have wanted them, especially if they were a good friend or family member. If you've dealt with a person like that who've not been excited to hear from you, maybe have even been a little bit, I'm saying, you know, belligerent or biting or just had a real nasty attitude or cold or standoffish or kind of sad. And maybe you've thought you've tried to reach them several times. I can tell you from a perspective of a person who's been there. You never want to leave a person alone who's been through some things like this. Because when you leave us alone, and I have to say us because I've been there. When you leave us alone to our own thoughts, and that's all we hear is our own thoughts. It's a bad, dark place. Bad things happen when you're by yourself. Or I should say, bad things can happen when you're all by yourself and your thoughts get lost. We come back from a short break. We're going to read that scripture, and we're going to continue to deal with thankful for what? This is to Craig Carlisle, and this is Raisa Mitchell. We'll be right back.
Hey, everyone. My name is Eric Tomlinson with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate, where we design the sale of your home around you. With our nationwide network of agents, you and your family are at the center of every decision, conversation, and step of the journey to your next home. From hello to congratulations, selling your home with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate is designed to both learn and surpass your expectations. Call me today at 951-970-6727 so we at the Tomlinson Group can begin surpassing your expectations today. We want to work for you.
Does your business need to rank higher on the Google search engine? Do you want everything that your company touches to turn to gold? If you've answered yes to either of those questions, you need to contact Bright Media House. Generating relevant customer leads is critical to increasing sales and growing your business. By figuring out which online sales and social media marketing channel to use and how to use them can be overwhelming, especially when you have a business to run. Digital marketing is something every business owner and marketing manager needs as a part of their strategy. For more information, go to www.brightmediahouse.com or email us at info@brightmediahouse.com. And we're back to the Raised in Men show. And again, I'm your host, Craig Carlisle, and we're dealing with the topic today of thankful for what? It's Thanksgiving, right? I mean, what do I have to be thankful for? So let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. Very briefly, it says, never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Jesus Christ. And in some other translations, this is from the New Living Translations, because some other translations say, for those who are in Christ. I like the word belong to Jesus Christ because that means it shows ownership there. It means that's something we've been grafted into that bloodline, and those who have given our lives to Christ, you know that you are among the family of believers. That means when I die and go to heaven, I know where I'm going to be welcomed there, not just to go there for judgment and then go to hell, but I'm going to be able to stay there. And I know the old folks back in the day say, I'll be able to have my mansion and live there in paradise. Well, for those of us who are still on earth waiting, who may have lost a spouse or a family member or whatever to that paradise land and to heaven and to God, the rest of us have work to do down here. And we wrestle daily, moment to moment, with our feelings and emotions that the enemy allows to stir up, or we allow ourselves to have stirred up, and we play into, we feed into. And especially at this Thanksgiving season into Christmas, where the media, social media, you name it, media, even the sporting events, they're playing into the whole happy holidays. And trust me, we all want to be happy. Even those of us who've been unhappy for so long, we want to be happy. We may look like the Grinch. We may sound like the Grinch, the green evil one from the Dr. Seuss series and all the fancy cartoons. We may feel like the Grinch on the inside, but we don't want to stay there. The natural state from our person is of course to follow after the enemy and not do the things that we're supposed to do. Yeah, I know there is a scripture that says, you know, I do the things that I don't want to do and I don't do the things that I want to do. And I know there's that wrestling, that pushing and pulling, but please understand, if you know of a person who's experienced a loss, catastrophic or minor, this type of the time of the year creates opportunities for us to get so lost in that event and find ourselves stuck on the day, the very moment, instant, second of that time when that loss occurred. It's so easy for us to sit back. And if you've experienced that at all, if it's something that resonates with you, I encourage you to find your way out of that. Listen to the Lord. Be honest and transparent. Say, Lord, I feel this kind of way. I'm sad. I'm lonely. I'm upset. I'm angry. I'm mad at you for taking my spouse from me, my loved one from me, my child from me. I'm angry. I'm mad because you've given me this disease. I'm mad because I'm sitting here in a hospital bed instead of at the dinner table. I'm angry. I'm upset. I'm just mad. I don't want to be in the state that I'm in. I lost my job. I lost my friends. I lost my family. They don't understand what I'm going through. All of these excuses and all these reasons and all of these feelings and emotions, they're all valid to the person who's feeling them. It's quite so often we can discount a person's feelings because we don't have any experience in what they're going through. I remember when, several years ago, I remember when my mother-in-law died. It's very interesting. My late wife and I used to always talk, and she couldn't quite understand, and nor could I, what he was going through. We used to stay close and connected with him for, you know, probably a good portion afterwards. I know Sandy used to go over and she helped out with the bills and getting that taken care of. I remember distinctly being in their house one day and Sandy was talking to her dad, and he wasn't crying at that moment, but you could tell it was right on the edge. And he was like, I can't deal with this, Sandy. You need to handle this. You need to handle this. It was deflection. He was pushing over onto her the things and the responsibilities that he should have been doing, but he just couldn't at that moment. He just couldn't bring it there. And I was, you know, they were saying, you know, supportive and supporting the situation, supporting him, but I didn't know how. It was a situation where I didn't understand what he was going through. Time passed and got through those situations and all got taken care of, got all handled, and time continued to pass again. And I remember distinctly there was, you know, a couple of text messages, you know, calls that had come out. He was wanting Sandy to come and get, and her sister to come and get her mom's stuff out of the closet. And I know, at the time I didn't know what he was talking about. I was like, well, it's just stuff. What's the big deal? Just move it. I mean, just box it. I didn't say anything. Those are conversations I had on the inside. I knew better than to voice an opinion one way or the other, because for one, it wasn't my dad. Two, it wasn't my wife that had passed. Three, I didn't have a clue as to what was going on. But I remember listening to Sandy and her sisters one side of that conversation, but neither one of them wanted to touch the clothes either. So I can imagine nobody wanted to touch the stuff. So I remember the day finally came when I got another call. I remember, need to come get this stuff. And I asked her, why does he want you to come to get this stuff right now? And I remember her response was something to the effect that he said he's tired of going in the closet every day, standing there holding onto the clothing and remembering the last time he saw his late wife wearing that outfit. Or maybe picking up a sleeve of a suit jacket, a dress sleeve, or maybe a dress itself, or whatever it could be, shirt that probably hadn't been washed. It probably had been worn and not washed since. And you can still smell the smell of the person on those clothing. Now, I know there's some of it out there have those clothes and they're still doing it today. And if you're doing that, I encourage you to pray and find out when's the right time to release that thing, because the person that you're smelling inside of those garments, they're not coming back. They're already where they're supposed to be. When my late wife passed, I thoroughly understood where my father-in-law was at those moments. So much so, I didn't touch the clothes that were my wife's in the closet. They were in the same position for almost 2 years. And I remember going in there each day being, that was the reminder that she was gone, with her clothes that were just hanging there as if I was waiting for her to return and wear them. But she wasn't coming back. So finally I got up after the 2 year mark and I just pulled all of her clothes out. I had to rip the band-aid off of that open wound that was allowing to stay open and festering for so long. Those of us who've experienced loss, we can't continue to live in the day that we were. And I'm not gonna bash and preach at those who may be doing it, but I'm going to tell you, the longer you stay, if you experience that kind of loss, as long as you stay in that position, waiting for that loved one to return, the longer you're going to remain stuck in that date. And there's so many people that are around you that need you to continue to live forward. Your loved one needs you to live forward. They need you to be thankful for their life and for the love that you had. But they also need you to be thankful enough for that moment to get up and live. We need to be thankful and give God thanks in all things. We go back to read again 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. It says, never stop praying, but be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Jesus Christ. And I know it's tough to wrap your mind around being thankful for the loss of the person that you love, or the job, or the home, or both, or all of the above. But you've got to, because the Lord has only ordained us to have whatever we have or whomever we have in our lives for a specific amount of time. It's all a part of the purpose that he has planned for us, because if we held on to that thing for so long, and you get beyond his time, beyond his expiration date, so to speak, we're going to miss out on the next blessing that's going to come by that maybe someone else behind us is in need of. Okay, what are you talking about? And I didn't get it to this moment right here. Thank you, God, for the revelation just even right now. Thank you, God, for even my obedience to get up and record this broadcast, because I get it now. Had my wife not died when she did, I wouldn't have probably have created the Raise Amen Show. There wouldn't have been a need for me to have created the Raise Amen Show. I didn't have a need to go tell about a show and help men become better. Yeah, men still needed to be better. I still needed to be better. But there was no urgency. There was no call to action. There was no need in my life, because I was living comfortable. I was living in a position where I thought, oh, it'll never happen to me. I don't have to get right today. I don't have to be a better husband today because I've got tomorrow. I don't have to deal with the issues that my wife and I, that anyone else that I have, because I've got tomorrow. But that tomorrow never came. For those of you who've experienced a loss of any type, that tomorrow never came. And I find myself frustrated, and forgive me for those of you who know me, who I call friend, that are married. I'm public apology right now. I apologize because there is, to you all, because there are certain times recently I've felt angry and frustrated with married couples who aren't working to keep their marriages together and seeking after God to first individually to bring your marriage together collectively, and you're just sitting around like you think you got tomorrow, like you think, oh, well, I don't need to be worried about what he says or she says about me. She's my wife or he's my husband. I'll just do whatever I want to do. I'll fix it tomorrow. I don't feel like dealing with conflict. I was there. I lived like that for better part of 11 years of my marriage, allowing the things that frustrated me to go by, and I won't worry about that. I don't want to upset the apple cart. I don't want to deal with conflict right now. I don't want to have an argument. I just want to leave this thing die. It'll get better. My silence will be enough. I'll just suck it up. It'll get better. I'll deal with it tomorrow. My tomorrow never came because I allowed myself to sit back and rest. Okay, so if you're listening to the show, and you listen to the Raising Men show, and I'm your host, Craig Carlisle, and we're dealing with the topic of thankful for what? And I mean in the sincerest tone, having the tone in your voice. I used to say that as a kid and say things like this as a kid. My mom used to always tell me, you better take that bass out of your voice. When you say it like that, thankful for what? We should be thankful for the breath that we have in our body, that we even had to form those words. Because the Lord didn't have to give us even those breaths to use against him in such a negative way. If my wife hadn't died, I wouldn't be available to have done this show, to share with the guys who are coming behind me who've lost their wives. I wouldn't be able to have written the devotions and the blogs that I have, talking about the feelings that I have and feelings, the things that I've experienced and gone through, so they wouldn't have to feel like they're alone, so they understand that there's going to be quiet times coming their way where people are going to stop ringing their phones, and during the holidays people are going to forget they exist, not because they didn't like them as a person, but they're going to forget they exist because of what we represent. We represent the bad things in life. We represent the negative. We represent the hurt, the loss of that feeling, because the person who's lost a loved one, yeah, they may have been our spouse in the case. So the case of David and the other widowers out there, they maybe have been our spouse, but I had to learn that our spouses were somebody else's friend that's missing them almost as much, and I didn't get it for a long time. Again, we need to take a break. Oh my goodness. You're listening to the Raising Men Show, and I'm your host, Craig Carlisle. We'll be right back, and we're dealing with Thanksgiving right now and Christmas. They're thankful for what? Right here on the Raising Men Show. And we'll be right back.
Who you hire as your realtor matters. You need a realtor who looks out for your best interests and not their own. Marie Clark with Allison James Estates is a full-time realtor, specializing in helping first-time homebuyers in Temecula and the surrounding areas. She is also a ministry leader. Today, why don't you choose Marie Clark to buy or sell your next home? Please call 951-265-6259.
How do you avoid pitfalls that will disrupt your life? My office is very good with helping families protecting assets, building wealth, college flexible plans, tax-free retirement, and so much more. I am Jontrice Wells with World Financial Group, licensed to help million-dollar families, businesses, and everyone in between. You can contact me at 951-757-4202 or email me at jw.nofamilyleftbehind@gmail.com. I'm about your family.
And we're back to the Raising Men Show. And again, I'm your host, Craig Carlisle, and we're talking about Thanksgiving today. Our topic is thankful for what? And we're dealing with 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. Again, and we're going to read it as you're getting caught up. And we've spent the first 30 minutes of the show just being, you know, I'm trying to be as transparent as possible. I'm trying to help someone out there who may be going through or have gone through a loss. You may be feeling like you know what? It's Thanksgiving. I don't have anything to be thankful for. I'm thankful for what? Well, let's look at it. You're thankful. You should be thankful for the breath that you have right now, that you, if you're awake, even if you may be listening to this in a hospital bed or on some form of advanced treatment that may be painful, you should be thankful for the moment and the breath that you have, because your time's not up yet. You're still here. You still have an opportunity to sow into someone else's life. You've still got an opportunity to even follow after God and give your life over to God finally, fully, and completely. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 17 to 18 says, never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Okay, so I know we have those times when we're experience loss and we're upset and we're angry and we just don't feel like doing it. But it says never stop. I know people say, oh yeah, pray without ceasing. Okay, this is another chapter and verse where you could find a pray without ceasing. So if you ever wonder, if you're a person who doesn't happen to be a heavy Bible reader or a heavy Bible scholar, 1 Thessalonians 5th chapter 17th verse is where you find an example that says never stop praying. Some translations will say, yes, pray without ceasing. I get it. Yes, but the New Living Translation says never stop praying. Be thankful. Verse 18, in all circumstances. Well, giving thanks. What are you talking about there? I mean, how do you give thanks for someone who may have beat you or abused you or talked bad about you and been a conditional friend or family member, just chosen to not listen to you at all or help you in any kind of way, not providing shelter for them or providing a meal or providing a listening ear for them when you need it one the most? We'll be thankful for them. We need to be thankful for them in everything. Be thankful that you lost that job because there's a better opportunity coming. There may not be a better job, but there may be a better opportunity coming for you to create a job, create a space, speak to someone, write something, do something different because the time at that other place is gone. Think of it like this. Had the children of Israel not been thankful for where they were going and turned around and gone back, the Roman soldiers would have got them. They'd have been devoured. They'd have been back in captivity. So there's nothing for us to go back to. So those of us who've lost jobs, homes, and loved ones, we can't just go back and say, oh, hey, can I get a do-over? I apologize. I'm sorry. Can we just do this thing again? There's no place for us to go back to. There's no room in the end, so to speak, to use a Christmas analogy, or as we're moving towards next month. There's no place to go back to. So those of us who are mourning and grieving the loss of a loved one, I get it. It hurts. I understand. Am there. Been there. But the reality is, I wish I could make it better for you. I wish I could say, you know what? It's going to get better. And it's true. It has gotten better. I wish I could say the hurt's going to stop. Well, it's going to lessen, and it is going to be better. I don't want to say it's never going to be better, but I tell you, it can only get better if you allow it to get better and you continue to move forward, because that person's not coming back. No matter how much you love them, no matter how much you think about them, I understand the whole thought of keeping their memory alive and keep them alive in your thoughts and in your tone and your actions. I get it. I really do. But you have to do that within the construct of not being stuck in that date. I can't be stuck in February 24th of 2013. I can't be stuck there because this is 2018, November. I can't live back there almost 6 years prior. I have to move forward. My kids need me to move forward. I can't keep driving the same vehicle, keep wearing the same haircut, can't keep wearing the same clothes. It's okay to buy new clothes, men who've lost their wives. I know a lot of women out there who buy their husband's clothes. I was there. I was a victim of that. And I say that in a total tongue-in-cheek way. I was buying clothes. Man, we were buying clothes before we met our girls, right? We were looking flashy. That's what got their attention. Either we looked a mess and they took pity upon us and bought something for us, or they saw that we were looking kind of cool and wanted to talk to us, right? So now that they're gone, yeah, my late wife used to buy clothes for me. I get it. She used to buy everything for us, as a matter of fact. She started to buy everything for the house. She'd buy all the stuff, all the kids' clothes, anything we wanted for dinner, or she would buy it. That was her role. That's the role that she took on. That was the Proverbs 31 woman. That's what she did. And so we were thankful. But now that she's gone, I find myself in the place that we're living now, struggling with and frustrated and angry and mad at God, because now I got to do this. There's nobody here to buy the clothes for the kids. There's no one here to buy the stuff for the house, the furniture and food and plan for these holidays. I find myself angry about that. Thankful for what? What am I thankful for? What am I going to be thankful for? She's not here. There's nobody here. I have to do it myself. I found myself almost like the analogy of a baby, an infant, laying on the floor, whether it be on their back or their stomach, just crying and yelling and screaming. But can you imagine a full-grown adult baby with all of the knowledge of being an adult but wearing a diaper and no shirt and these little tiny little white booty socks with sometimes with a lace on the end if you're a girl or a boy or whatever you have on the end of the sock and a little bonnet on your head and a rattle or a pacifier hanging out your mouth as you're crying and snotting all over the place? That's what I felt like. That's what I feel like. The analogy comes to my mind every time I'm crying, woe is me, and feeling sorry for myself. My wife's gone. Your loved one's gone. Sorry. I'm not going to tell you to suck it up, but you know what? At some point, you're going to have to put your big boy pants on, pick it up and roll. Move forward and live. Never stop praying, being thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. I'm not saying circumvent the grieving and mourning process. I understand it's kind of similar to a 12-step program. I get it. I do. But if you don't start step one, you're never going to get to step 12, and you can't bypass any step along the way. The longer we remain angry, unmotivated, depressed, drunk, high, self-indulgent, pissed off, mad, you name it, put any adjective behind it to describe yourself in the place that you were at the moment you experienced that loss, you're never going to get out of the state that you're in, because you've got to go through all of the states, whether it be denial or anger and sorrow and just whatever the steps are. I'll publish those on our social media platform of what the 12 steps are through, or whatever the steps are through a healthy grieving pattern. But we've got to start it. I know it's going to hurt. It does. But I promise you, I'm almost 6 years into this thing, and it does get better. There's so many days I didn't think it would. There were so many moments I didn't have a clue as to what in the world I was going to do next. But I promise you, if you never stop praying and being thankful for in all circumstances, it never gets better if you don't do that. The scripture that got me through so many years, I don't say day, I'm talking about years, is Romans 8:28. All things work together for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. All things. The deaths, the layoff, the loss of homes, the loss of apartments, the loss of cars, the loss. All things. The joy, the gladness, the promotions, the new places, the new clothes, the new outfits, the new holidays, the new holiday meals. All things. Not just the bad, not just the good, but all things. Even like back in Thessalonians 5:18, be thankful in all circumstances. It's the all there. It's not like you can't pick and choose. The circumstances in our life are not like a menu. Just like God's will and God's law for our life are not a menu that we can go up and choose. You know, I'll take a whole lot of grace, a whole lot of forgiveness, a whole lot of prosperity. I'll take a double portion of protection. Okay, thank you. And I don't want to pick up the long suffering. And I struggled with that. And I still have trouble struggling with long suffering. I don't want to suffer long anymore about anything. I'm tired of suffering. So many of us out there tired of suffering. Lord, where's the grace? Where's the mercy that we can see tangibly, we can feel? Where's the happiness? Where's the joy? But it's here. And we can't get to there as long as we're still back where we were at the moment we experienced the loss, on the ground, on our stomachs, kicking our knees and toes and beating our fists into the ground, on the floor, the carpet, whatever you find yourself on, crying over the loss of that thing. It's just not possible to become any better if you won't start even being. Some of us haven't showered in several days because we're mad, angry, depressed, staying indoors. Trust me, I was that guy almost 5.5 years ago. Didn't want to leave the house. Figure if I wasn't leaving the house, no need to shower. No one's going to see me or smell me. I feel sorry for my kids. I apologize if you smelled your dad funky back then. I know back then I didn't want to leave the house because I didn't want anyone to see me not being on, not being happy. Trying to perform for somebody. Trying to make sure someone saw me as that happy guy. Oh, I talked to my pastor a few months back. Having coffee. I don't drink coffee. He had coffee. I had a tea drink. He told me, you know, if you look at you on the outside, you'd never know anything was wrong. That's that performance spirit. That's what my mom taught us. Don't, you know, what goes on in this house stays in this house. Don't ever let anybody see you sweat. She used to tell me, you could put that face on, you could put that mask on. No one needs to see how you are on the inside. And that was tough. That was tough. That was tough because when you needed someone to be there, when you needed to talk to someone, you needed to cry. And guys, I understand. We used to live by the old adage, old men don't cry. Just put some dirt on it. That's why half of us can't see right now. We got so much doggone dirt in our eye. In the Bible, even Jesus wept. He even cried so much the blood sweated through his veins, through his skin, through his pores, through his eyes. We've got to do better, men. We're going into Thanksgiving and Christmas, understanding that it's going to be tough. But you've got to give all those things over to God. Cast our cares on Him, on God, because He cares for us. We can do this thing. So anything that you're feeling frustrated about, you need to make a list. Write it down. We're going to talk about that in our last segment coming up. Can you listen to Craig Carlisle? This is the Raising Men Show. We're talking about being thankful. Thankful for what? We've got a lot to be thankful for. We'll be right back. This is Craig Carlisle, the host of the Raising Men Show, and I'm also an executive producer of the independent feature film Restored Me.
I lost everything for something I didn't do. What type of God is going to watch a man get up on his feet and then kick him right back down and get drugged through the dirt again?
It's a powerful, feel-good dramedy that centers around a young man trying to restore his relationship with his young daughter and her mother.
Talk to him just like you're talking to me.
Where have you been, kid? These people take communion from me. I am their God.
This film speaks to restoring your faith and pushes a bold message of positivity and motivation. The cast includes Gary Owen, Bill Duke, William Lee, Matt Gerald, Richard T. Jones, Malik Yoboi, Yancey Arias, and Bo Casper Smart, just to name a few. Restored Me is available on over 100 digital markets, including iTunes, Amazon, and on demand from your local cable provider. Buy it, rent it. Either way, I'm asking you to watch it. It'll bless your life.
And we're back to the Raising Men Show, and I'm your host, Craig Carlisle. We're almost through this thing. Well, we're not almost through Thanksgiving, right? And I'm hoping if you are looking to find an archive playback of this, and if you get those moments where you just, you know, I need to go back and listen to that broadcast again, you can look us up online, www.theraisingmenshow.com. It'll take you right to our blog archive page. Those who don't know how to spell Raising Men, it's not traditional at all. It's RZNGMEN at .com. So it's The Raising Men Show, RZNGMEN.com. And it'll take us right to our blog page. And if you're looking for us on social media, it's the same spots, you know, and Instagram and Facebook, Twitter. It's at Raising Men, RZNGMEN. And we're going to post things like that. We're going to post a lot heavier during the Thanksgiving and Christmas holiday than we have probably in a while. I do maybe once a week, twice a week over there. And, you know, we're heavy at times, but I need to be heavier during this season as a reminder to me, not for anybody else. So sorry, you got some folks out there trying to be, you know, Instagram stars or whatever because they want folks to follow and like and whatever, but that's not why I do it. I want my kids to see. I need myself to see. I need to be able to look back and have a recorded image, a record of where we were, where I was, and so I can look back and say I made it. I know at the top of the show I was sharing how I do a lot of these archiving of things and wanted to do this show to help my kids have a record of where we were, and so the proper time that they wanted to see and go back and hear or look and see where we were, what we've been through, they could. And the interesting thing is they do. Just 2 days ago, my two youngest boys brought me their phones and they were showing me a link off of our YouTube page of a video. Their aunt had given them a dragon fruit. She used to take a couple of times where an adventure with foods, and it's their food adventure. She brought them a dragon fruit that particular time. And I remember cutting it and I showed the video of them all trying it for the first time. Or I should say, I took a recording of them eating for the first time. So Evan was playing back that video and they were so tiny. But I mean, it was 5 years ago. Evan was five, Jackson was four. And so, and what was so interesting to me, even just right now, recalling the story, but their mom was gone already. And Jackson wasn't even in school yet when his mom passed. He was four. And I think back and I'm like, God, who does that? Who takes a kid's mom away at four? But they were able to go back and look at that video and see that memory and recall the day they had dragon fruit. I post heavy. I do this so I can remember where I've come from. So my kids can remember where they've come from. I post and I do this because any man that's out there who's lost their wife, they can have a place to go to listen to a guy that's been there doing that. I'm not saying done that. Because even when I remarry again, I'm still going to be a widow. Yeah? You'll never stop being a member of this exclusive club. Because someone paid your admission with their life. So you need to become better. A better member. There's a friend I have at church. She's got a blog she uses. She calls herself the best widow ever. And I know she and I have talked about doing a blog. And I know it's a good thing because my boss there, he said he would even video record it and edit. Because he knows it would be wild. And I know he's busy. So for him to volunteer, I thank him for that. And we're just waiting on her. So Adriana, whenever you're ready, you need to do this thing. Because there's people out there who are widows on both sides of this conversation, male and female, who need to connect with each other, to hear the perspectives of both sides, all sides, so we can help somebody. Maybe we'll just do that as an episode or two on this show, to help someone. Help someone look back, and understand and realize that you made it. Not that you've arrived. This is no promised land. Let me tell you, there's no promised land here right now in terms of, you know, peace and prosperity. But when you really look back, when the children of Israel did make it to the promised land, their life didn't stop there. They couldn't stay in that one place. They enjoyed happiness and joy, and they laughed and great food. And I know there was descriptions of the grapevines being large and massive and a place flowing with milk and honey. I get it. We have those moments, but we're going to continually have those moments where the enemy's chasing us, and we'll have to have another Red Sea moment where the Lord's going to have to miraculously provide a means of escape for us to get to the other side, to another promised land. So there'll be more promised lands coming, and I know mine's, I shudder to say that it's here now, but maybe that's a part of my faith. Maybe we just need to believe that it's here until it truly does manifest in the natural. So, Lord, I do believe that my promised land, the promised land that I need for this season is here. And I'm thankful for that opportunity. And so many of us need to do and acknowledge the same thing. It can be very dark. We could have just experienced a loss of whatever type. We can have a loved one in the hospital right now, but you know what? They're not dead. Even if our loved one is dead, we're not. It means that we can continue to go. You may be a parent who's parenting children who've lost their mom or their dad. Whatever they've lost, those kids are still alive. They still need you to engage. They still need you to participate and show them what to be thankful for. They still need you to buy clothes. They still need you to wash and clean and groom yourself and show them how to live. Because, man, if we don't show our kids and lead by example, or, well, if we don't do like Scripture says and train up a child in the way they should go, because no matter what we are doing, we're training them. Even if we're doing nothing but sitting around drinking alcohol, smoking, getting high all day, sleeping, laying around, not washing ourselves, we're showing them, we're training them how to be. And I promise you, I don't want any funky children. I got two that smell nasty, and you get up out of the bed, come out of the shower, and then you need to go back in and rewash. And let me make sure you got soap on there. You think about sweat, and some of them stink. I've tried 4 or 5 different deodorants. It's just their age, you know, the puberty is setting in. But would you want them to be full of pubescent funk at 49 and 50? I don't think so. I know I don't want it. I'd be around a stinky person. But some of us live such stinky lives. The stench of death and loss is just reeking from us. From our dirty, nasty clothes and unkept cars and unkept spaces and unmade beds, unwashed sinks and tubs and showers, and having probably bought clothes in 17 years, it may be more than just not being able to afford it financially. You may not be, have wanted to have afforded it emotionally. I get it, most men, we went out for shopping for clothes. It was a quick in and out, but our wives were with us. They were picking clothes and walking through the aisles and these department stores and or wherever our wives bought our stuff. And some of us would follow them around and be frustrated and mad because you had to stand there. But they were doing it for you. They were buying clothes that they wanted to see you in. Sorry, she's gone. She's not coming back. You got to go buy something to wear. Holes in the bottom of your seat of your jeans. You still need to look nice. It's going to hurt. Trust me. Every time I go to the store to buy some clothes for my kids, it's nothing for me to go back and think, damn, the mom should be doing this. Well, no, she's praising God all day in heaven. She's not going to come down here and buy clothes. She can't. Sorry. I got to do it. Can't let them run around in high water jeans. Holes in their stuff, holes in their socks, socks that don't even fit, underwear 3 sizes too small. Come on. Hair uncut, no lineup. We've got to do it. You don't want these kids to look the same like they're looking right now when they're adults, 21, 25, 30, 40, 50, because they got no home training? As we go into this Thanksgiving season, let's look at all the things that we should be thankful for. Lord, I'm thankful for each one of my children. Thankful for their health. I'm thankful for friends and family. Thankful for a place to live. Thankful for a car to drive. For those of you who don't have a car, well, thankful for public transportation. I'm thankful for the friends of mine who have cars. I'm thankful that I'm healthy enough to be able to walk to where I've got to get to or ride my bike or skateboard or however, Uber. I'm thankful for those things. I'm thankful for the jobs. I'm thankful for the contracts. I'm thankful for the opportunities. I'm thankful for the sleep I got. I'm thankful for the food that I've received or I'm about to receive, for the nourishments of our body. I'm thankful for the breath I took. I'm thankful for the breath I'm taking. I'm thankful for the breath that I'm about to take. I'm thankful for being able to go to the hospital to see that loved one. I'm thankful for being able to visit the elderly. I'm thankful for being able to go to the schools to see my kids or pick them up from school and be there for whenever they need me to be there. I'm thankful for the opportunity to have this radio broadcast that I have. I'm thankful for the platform that you're giving. I'm thankful for being able to minister on social media. I'm thankful for being able to write a devotional. I'm thankful for being able to share our story. I'm thankful. No longer sitting around wondering and sad for the woe is me. And Lord, I'm even thankful for my wife to come. Because if I'm not thankful for that now, she'll never come, because I can't live life not expecting something positive to happen. So Lord, for all those out there that are who've experienced loss, I bless them with peace and with thanksgiving and with grace and mercy and provision and protection this moment, this day, this season, right now. I bless them with joy and with happiness. I bless them with the ability and the desire and the want to put down their fears, and they cast their cares on you because you care for us. Because we're never going to stop praying, being thankful in all circumstances, because that is the will for those who belong to you. Again, you're listening to the Craig Carlisle Show. Oh, goodness. You're listening to the Raising Men Show. And I'm your host, Craig Carlisle. Happy Thanksgiving.
It's been a long time. Preach up. You
got it. I'm back. This is Craig Carlisle, the host of the Raising Men Show, and I'm back Tuesdays, 2 p.m. and 10 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. Pacific, right here on WKBY 1080 AM and WKBY1080.net. Tune in and we'll have real talk about real life.
Hey everyone, my name is Eric Tomlinson with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate, where we design the sale of your home around you. With our nationwide network of agents, you and your family are at the center of every decision, conversation, and step of the journey to your next home. From hello to congratulations, selling your home with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate is designed to both learn and surpass your expectations. Call me today at 951-970-6727 so we at the Tomlinson Group can begin surpassing your expectations today. We want to work for you.